entry in the Diary of Doom as we look back on the rich history of doom metal and its sister sounds based on the recounted tales of its followers. Every week, we will have a different guest to spin their yarn. You can follow us on Instagram at Diary of Doom, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Diary of Doom, follow the podcast over at https://diaryofdoom.podbean.com, and subscribe and listen to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. If you have a question or want to give me an update on coronavirus, you can send me an email over to diaryofdoom1968@gmail.com. This week on the show, we have Dan Lorenzo. Dan is a fellow New Jersey resident. I'm not sure about native, but I guess we'll find out. And he is also in the band Vessel of Light, and he's got a bit of a sordid history with being in other heavy metal bands. Thank you for coming on the show, Dan.
Did you say a sordid or sordid history?
Sordid.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. No, I'm a New Jersey native. I was born and raised. No, but I was actually born in Englewood, New Jersey. I was raised in Paramus, New Jersey, though.
Okay, right on. I am not a technical Jersey baby. I was born out of state, but I was taken back here immediately after birth. So I guess I'm kind of, I don't know.
I'll grandfather you in. Okay, that's permissible.
There we go. We got Dan's approval. And obviously, in addition to what you do with Vessel of Light, you also are you're the editor in chief of Steppin' Out magazine.
I was for a few years, but I still write for Steppin' Out. I do most of the editorial, pretty much all the tattoo editorial and a lot of the cover stories. But I make a living working for PainfulPleasures.com, which is a tattoo and piercing supply company out of Maryland. So I'm not really the editor of Steppin' Out, but I'm very good friends with them, and I still write for them. I've been writing for them for 25 years.
Oh, very cool. I know Steppin' Out, of course. We used to get copies of it delivered to my old store. You know, people grab on the way in, way out, or what have you. So, but like leading up to all that, you know, you started out in a couple of bands. So, like, what were your earliest experiences with music?
I fell in love with Kiss around 1977. I started playing guitar in 1978. And a few months before I started playing guitar, I decided to call myself Dan from Hades. I knew I would have a band called Hades, and I knew we would ultimately put out a record one day. I didn't know that it would take about 8 years or 9 years, and I didn't know there'd be a bunch of different lineups of Hades, different members, and you know, until we put out our first record in February of 1987. February 1st, 1987, we opened up for Slayer and a Chance in Poughkeepsie, and the very next day, February 2nd, 1987, the supposedly classic Hades album Resisting Success was released. And then we did another record the following year. We toured Europe in 1989. We broke up, started a band called Nonfiction, did that for a few years, and Hades I didn't do any music from like 1996, 1997, 98. And then Hades did three records for Metal Blade, 1999, 2000, and 2001. And then our drummer Ron Lipnicki got cancer. I ended up doing some solo records when Ron got better, and then Ron joined Overkill, and I did a record with Bobby Bliss from Overkill. Are you familiar with that one? 2007, The Cursed Room Full of Sinners.
Not that one, but I mean, of course I know Overkill. They're Jersey boys as
sure.
Well. I saw them a few years ago down at Starland. It was like this massive bill. It was like seven bands. It was crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you should check it out. It's not available, but it's available on YouTube. You can hear the songs. Blitz and I did a record in 2007 called The Cursed Room Full of Sinners. It's a classic album, and Blitz sings different than you've never heard him sing the way he sang for The Cursed.
Now, I'm not familiar with Nonfiction. What was that band like?
Oh, really? Oh, that was probably the first doom band from New Jersey. It was definitely, like with Hades, I wanted to tune down, but the other guys in the band, they didn't want to tune down because they thought their necks would break off. So when Hades broke up, I started a band called Nonfiction, and we released three records. We toured Europe and America with Overkill and Sabotage, and it was basically Nonfiction, A Curse, and Vessel of Light. It's all, you know, musically sounds very similar. It's just the vocalist who made everything different, because it's basically, I was the only guitar player in The Cursed and Nonfiction and Vessel of Light, so all three bands musically sound very similar because I was the guitar player and the songwriter. I wrote the music for all three bands,
They have, like, that that one root that kind of binds everything together.
Yeah. Tune down to C, drop tuning. The curse tuned even lower for some songs, but yeah, it's similar. You know, I could tell you it's like Black Sabbath-y, but it's weird because when I was in high school, I didn't care for Black Sabbath. I didn't fall in love with Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin until like 1990 after Hades broke up. At the time, I was really more into AC/DC and, you know, Slayer when I was doing Hades.
But what brought you to put the axe down for a little while? Was it just like life got in the way?
Well, in 1994, January of 94 is my 31st birthday. I couldn't find a quarter for a bagel, so I decided I better get a job, and I got the job for Steppin' Out magazine. And once I got the job, it's really hard for me to do something that's not 100%. At least back then, it was very hard to find that balance. So I fell in love with who became my wife, Gina, my best friend. We're still happily married after 23 years, but we started seriously dating in 1994. And I just basically sold all my equipment. I was so disillusioned with the music business and dealing with people and all the different personalities. I really didn't think I'd ever play again. And then in 1999, my guitar tech, Dan Garber, gave me an acoustic guitar. And I think I wrote the opening riff to what would become Hades' Save Yourself. And that kind of started me back on my way of becoming a songwriter again and, you know, putting out albums. I mean, my aspirations of being a rock star or making a living playing music were no longer in play. But I love Vessel of Light as much as I've ever loved the band, honestly.
Of course. Vessel of Light, you know, probably makes sense given your other bands as a little bit more of like a rock edge to it, to, you know, compared to some other doom bands and that I listen to. I mean, I listen to a lot of them. Was there any specific, were you pulling from any specific records or bands from, you know, previous in history that, you know, made you want to pursue a doomy vibe or like go?
No, I mean, really, it's like, that's just what I write. I mean, people could tell me, hey man, why don't you write another record like Hades Resisting Success? And if I did even attempt that, it would be forced and contrived, and I don't write that way. So I could tell you, you know, hey Dylan, I want the next Vessel of Light record to be even doomier. But you pick up the guitar, and if that's not what's coming out, you can't force it. You know, whenever you try and force a song, it sounds horrible. It's like, you know, I feel like most of the bands we all know and love, whether it's Pantera or whoever, they start forcing songs, and then you have a 10-song album, and there's 4 great songs and 6 mediocre songs, and because they forced it, they needed to put a record out by a certain date to make it onto a certain tour. You know, Motley Crue's done that like 20 times. I mean, they put out record after record, and you got 2 great songs and 8 shitty songs. Where, you know, for me, if a riff isn't turning me on, I'm not going to bother showing the guys in the band. If I do show a riff, to say my bass player Jimmy Shulman, that he's not crazy about it, I'd be like, yeah, you can do better than that, you know. So I started writing with Nathan Opposition, who's also in the band Ancient Wisdom, about 3 years ago, and we're now working on our 4th record together. So it seems to really work, this combination, you know.
Yeah, I was actually just going to bring up Nathan. Now I am familiar with Nathan's other band Ancient Wisdom. I saw them back when I was in college, and I was a really big fan of the record they put out in like as like maybe like 2010 or 2011. I don't
God like Inferno.
Yeah, I think yeah that was the one. I was a big
yeah, that's
fan
the
of
big
that record.
One.
There's actually, come to think of it, that's probably like that's probably one of the doom records that sort of like put me down this path, and I didn't even realize it until just this moment. You guys like have a lot of similarities in terms of like favorite bands or records, or do you just like gel?
He's a Satanist. I'm a church-going Catholic. Nathan is to himself. I'm very gregarious. I like talking to people. Nathan's not, you know, if you met him, he's the nicest guy in the world, but
he was very nice when I met him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's 35. I'm 57, so he's from Cleveland. I'm from New Jersey. We have almost nothing in comparison from the outside, but you know, we just did 3 shows together, and we did actually a radio appearance, and we hung out in the car together for 4 days. We drove around. We went to restaurants together, and he's really become a really damn good friend of mine. I love the guy. But we have a lot of differences. What we listen to musically, like, I mean, couldn't be further apart. He likes bands I've never even heard of, and And the other night we were in a club and Bruce Dickinson, Iron Maiden came on and he was singing along. I'm like, oh man, you like this shit? And he's like, yeah, this is like classic rock to me. I'm like, oh, all right, you know, I get it. but songwriting wise and personality wise, we just, it's perfect, man. I mean, I know now, I trust him whenever I hand him my riffs. He's going to do something amazing to it, better than anything I could think of, you know?
Yeah. How did you guys come about putting together Vessel of Light?
Well, I guess a little over 3 years ago, I was getting ready to fly to Austin, Texas, and I knew my hotel was where a lot of the clubs were on 6th Street, and I Googled stoner rock from Austin, even though I'm totally straight. My wife and I kind of like stoner rock, you know, and I found the band Ancient Wisdom. I found the song The Opposition, and I literally listened to it 30 or 35 times over the next 3 or 4 days. Then I found the song Deathlike, and I was just blown away that a band that I'd never heard of had two songs that I thought were as good as any Led Zeppelin or, you know, Alice in Chains or whatever. I thought they were just top level music, and I'm not on Facebook, so it took me quite a while to figure out how to contact Nathan. And when we did, we finally, you know, we started emailing each other, then that led to phone calls, and then one day he sent me an email saying, what's going on with our side project? And I'm like, what side project? And when I think back, I've told this story before, I secretly wanted to come out of retirement and write with him, but I didn't want to ask him because I didn't want to be like the old guy from Hades asking the young cool guy from Ancient Wisdom, hey man, let's write together, and he'd say no. It would be like embarrassing to me. So I waited for him to approach me, and when he did, I mailed him some of my riffs. I drove out to Cleveland. We had one rehearsal, just the two of us. And then a month later, I drove out again, and we recorded 6 songs in 7 hours, and we got a little record deal from Argonauta Records, and we released our debut EP.
Argonauta's been picking up some pretty good stuff lately.
Yeah, definitely.
That's pretty cool, with all the driving and whatnot. That's pretty cool that you guys were that committed to the idea.
Oh, yeah, and then when we finished that, we're like, okay, so this will be a studio band. We're never going to play live because it's just the two of us. We live so far away from each other. And then when we finished Woodshed, I'm like, fuck me, man. This is way too good not to play live. So I drafted Ron Lipnicki. He had just left Overkill, so I thought it was time he and I start jamming together again, and Jimmy Shulman. And Life of Agony used to open up for Nonfiction, so I asked Life of Agony if we could open up for them. And we played a sold-out show with Life of Agony and Silvertune at the Bowie Ballroom about September of a year and a half ago, and it went really well, and then we decided to do some more shows together, so we played the New England Stoner and Doom Festival in May of last year, and now in this coming up June 2020, unless the coronavirus canceled it, we're going to be playing the Maryland Doom Festival.
That's awesome. Maryland Doom Fest always has like a really good lineup. Last year's lineup was pretty awesome, and this year's lineup I don't think is anything to laugh at either. Obviously, I just mentioned, you know, this podcast is a little bit timely. We're talking about coronavirus and all amidst all the massive cancellations around the world and tours, and a lot of people are hurting right now.
Yeah. So in June of 2020, Vessel of Light will be playing the Maryland Doom Festival, and before and after that, we'll surround it with some dates. We're going to play Lucky 13 in Brooklyn. We're going to play down in Delaware, a club called Bar 13, and then we're going to probably play either the Meat Locker or Olives surrounding those dates. Olives is in Nyack. We just played there, and there's some video online of us playing Olives in Nyack, and we have some really good video that I just posted that I sent you.
Cool. Yeah, definitely for all you listeners out there, check those out. They're quite cool. There's some records from when you were growing up that you're just like a huge fanboy of.
Say again?
Are there any records from your youth or when you're growing up, kind of your formative years, that you would consider yourself just like massive fanboy of, like if you're going to do like your favorite records of all time?
Yeah, Exodus, Bonded by Blood, Kiss, Rock All Over, Kiss Alive, AC/DC, Highway to Hell, Aerosmith Rocks, Aerosmith, Toys in the Attic, Plasmatics, Coup d'Etat, did I say that already? First two Cheap Trick albums I love, and then I started getting into Slayer and, you know, Judas Priest, Slayer, and who else? Bands like that, Clutch. I'm a big fan of Clutch. But
Clutch is great.
The only band I loved in high school, really, that I don't listen to now would be Bruce Dickinson, Iron Maiden. That just didn't age well for me.
Interesting, because they're kind of like considered considered, you know, royal, like metal royalty.
Yeah, I just don't like that type of vocal anymore, honestly.
Oh, like the soaring sort of like pitch belting and whatnot.
Yeah, it's just not for me. It's just, to me, it just didn't age well. I like the first three or four Iron Maiden albums, but I don't ever find myself listening to them, whether it's with Paul Di'Anno or Dickinson. It just didn't really age well for me.
Interesting and hot take. So you dropped the Thy Serpent Rise last year. What's on the horizon for you guys now?
Well, after we put out Thy Serpent Rise, by the way, it's available, you know, iTunes and Spotify and all that stuff, and also danlorenzo.net. But I just, unlike all my previous albums, starting with Woodshed and then Thy Serpent Rise and then whatever the next album's called, I lay down all my guitar tracks first, and then everybody lays their their parts down after that. So I actually have already finished recording the fourth Vessel of Light album, and Ron just started laying down some drums, and then in a month or so, Jimmy Shulman and Nathan Opposition will start putting their parts to it. You can look for another Vessel of Light record in early 2021, unless the economy completely crashes, which could be if they don't let people go back to work soon.
It could be. You'll have to play it for people for free.
Well, put a hat out. That's what we do anyway. Yeah.
So. As we mentioned before, you know, you worked for Steppin' Out, and now you work for your what was the name of the
Painful Pleasures?
Painful Pleasures
Tattoo and Piercing Supplies.
Yeah. So you basically do have like a full time job in addition to Vessel of Light being your main gig. Like,
of course.
So how does that work out for you in terms of like scheduling? Do you have it down to a science now, or was it like tricky at all?
Painful Pleasures is located in Maryland, so I work from home, and I move way more quickly than the average person. You know, I write for 10 magazines, I put out records, I play basketball, and I work for Painful Pleasures, and I'm happily married. I like to travel with my wife. So, I mean, I'm never a big fan of when people say, oh, I didn't have time to do that, but it's definitely a little harder for Nathan, Opposition, Jimmy Shulman, and Ron Lipnicki, because when we're playing shows, they're losing money, they're not working, so it's easiest for me. Because, you know, I'm in sales, and as long as my numbers are good, it's okay if I take off a day and a half here, you know, 2 days there, nobody's going to be upset. Plus, I can continue to work while I'm on the road. I can, you know, I still always check my DMs and my emails and everything. So it's easiest for me. The other guys have a bit of a harder time because they actually lose money whenever they're playing shows.
Yeah, that's always, like, the main struggle when you're
sure.
a band. It's like, it's not really, especially this kind of music, it's not really something that you get into because you think you're going to be a millionaire.
No,
you're living in,
absolutely
like, you know,
not.
Going to, like, four-star hotels, you know, maybe once in a while, but you're probably not going to experience a lot of that.
Well, I experience four-star hotels, but just not with the band.
Sure.
My wife, I can, you know?
Right, of course. But, like, what have been some career highlights for you? Because, I mean, you've got a pretty impressive history here, you know, looking back in it. Three bands, prominent writer, editor.
Well, I'll tell you, a few of my highlights would be... let's see, in 1987, I remember Run DMC coming into the studio when Hades was recording their second album. It was actually going to be an EP, and Jam Master Jay got in the drum set, and I said, my God, I said, these guys are famous. I said, you know, we should do a song with you. And they ran out of the recording studio saying, rap and metal, you can't mix those two together. I remember that. And then not long after that, Aerosmith and Run DMC did their thing. I remember very well opening up for Pantera with Nonfiction in 1991. And then in 1992, I was in Los Angeles, and I introduced myself to Phil Anselmo in a hotel room. And he said, I know who you are. You're Dan from Nonfiction. And he started singing the My Way, which was the first song off the first Nonfiction album. That was really cool. In 2000, Hades got back together, like I said, and we did a big festival in Germany called the Wacken Festival. That was really cool because I had my boy Jimmy Shulman with me again. And then in 2010, we opened up for Twisted Sister in Queensryche. We did a reunion show in Germany at I'm blank on the name of that festival. But honestly, Dylan, if you took all those things, put them together, and I just said, you know, Vessel of Light, the EP, Woodshed, and Thy Serpent Rise, those have been by far the favorite things I've ever done in my life musically. I mean, I've never been as into it as I am now.
I mean, that's amazing, considering what you just told me, that to come back into the this, you know, new project. Shot in the dark, really, kind of, you know, with...
Totally.
Like, Nathan on and whatnot.
Yep.
So beyond, you know, all your other favorite records that you grew up listening to, what is Dan Lorenzo listening to these days?
Well, if I'm in my car, I bought about 150 songs recently, and it would go from, like, Public Enemy to Dr. Dre to Neil Young to Valerie by the Monkees to Slayer. You know, pretty much a lot of different bands. But I'm still listening to the stuff I grew up, you know, listening to and loving in high school. Like, I have a side project band called Cassius King, and we record Kiss covers or Black Sabbath covers. I did a thing with Rob Dukes. You can Google Cassius King. We did a Black Sabbath cover. I forget which one it was right now. I just listened to it last night. But, you know, Rob Dukes was the former singer of Exodus. So I know a lot of different people, and, you know, I still keep recording, like, cover songs just for fun, but Vessel of Light is my real deal, and I'll listen to anything. I mean, I'll listen to just about anything, unless it's like jazz or not too much classical, and not, I don't like country music at all, but I pretty much love all kinds of different music, you know, from classic rock to Slayer.
Right on. Yeah, it's what I've tended to notice of people who kind of get into this genre. They tend to like a lot of different things, and it could be any of those things you mentioned or some of the things that you don't like. And that's something that I could always appreciate about this genre, is that even when there's a lot of, like, similarity, you can have a conversation with any given band member about pretty much any kind of music, whether they're like, oh, I really enjoy, like, minimalist electronic music, or I love, you know, death metal. It could be anything. So, anything you wanted to plug for yourself? You mentioned you had all those upcoming dates.
Yeah, just if anybody cares to go to danlorenzo.net, you can get Thy Serpent Rise directly from me. You can buy it from our distributor, Cobra Side, or All That's Heavy in America. In Europe, there's a couple different distributors. But if you want us, if you care enough to check out Vessel of Light by Serpent Rise, whether you're following us on Spotify or buy a few songs on iTunes, that really helps the band.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend checking them out. I dig them a lot. Do you have any tactical advice for all of us weary music listeners in the wake of COVID-19?
Yeah, don't smoke cigarettes. Don't get sick. I mean, I haven't called out sick to work since 1988. If I think I'm getting sick, I gargle with hydrogen peroxide. I stick a Q-tip in it, put it in my ears and nose. I take a nap, and I literally haven't called out sick to work in 30, 35 years.
Well, there you go. Right there you go. From the expert.
Stop smoking cigarettes, though, damn it.
No, I'm not a cigarette smoker.
Oh, I don't mean you. I mean.
Oh no, I know. I'm just. But I'm.
Lower your immune system.
Well, there you go. You've got the expert advice from one Dan Lorenzo. Dan, thank you for coming
on
the show.
Thank you, Dylan.
Thanks for humoring me with the phone call as opposed to meeting up in these unfortunate times that we're living in. So, like Dan said, check him out on all those platforms, and that will do it for this chapter of the diary.